Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house today. It's good to be with our church family. It's good to be just together one more time throughout the week. We're so busy. We get so caught up with everything. Just with everything that we're just so busy with work and family. And it's these kind of these scheduled times to help us make sure that we are giving that time back to God and that we're getting together and that we're learning together and growing together, and this builds unity, and that's what we need to grow, amen. And today what I want to do for you today is I just kind of want to talk to you. I just want to talk about something that we've heard and maybe just simplify it. Maybe just try to really think about it in a way that is simple and it makes sense and easier maybe just to kind of ingest. I'm in training this week at work, and during training we're working on leadership tactics and coaching, and whatever we do when we are in a coaching kind of or a training period is we have to take what we have and simplify it. We have to make sure that what we are, the thought process, no matter how great it is simplified so that it can be understood and applied. And if you simplify it and you understand the why of why we're doing it, there's buy-in, there's greater understanding, and then overall you're looking for an expectation. You know, you're looking for a goal of performance or a goal of, you know, through that understanding for an expected behavior. Right? So that's what I'm going through this week. I'm driving back and forth to Elyria this week, and that's kind of what we're going through. And it's just kind of what I do just in my own thought process. If I want to do something and if I'm going to keep doing it, if I'm going to keep it up, I have to take what's being asked of me. I have to simplify it so that I really understand. I have to answer that reason of why I am doing it, so that there is buy-in from me and I'm compelled to act on what is being taught or what is being expected. So today I want to talk about the greatest commandment. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you Google this right now and Google the greatest commandment, you're going to find the most profound sermons and the most profound teachings. They're going to maybe fall back and forth all across the Bible, and I'm not doing that, so let's lower our expectations. Let's just lower them down a little bit. What I want to do is I just want to ask questions, and I want us to consider what it is when it says the greatest commandment and what that means to us. Now, the first question I want to ask before I get to Scripture is what's wrong with religion today? You know, we see different denominations, we see different religions, different forms of Christianity, and what I would say about most, from my understanding, is, you know, most are kind of boring, I would say. Most are maybe very heavily rule-based. You know, we have a kind of check-off list of things we do and check-off list of things we don't do. A lot of religion is just based on tradition. So we don't even understand maybe a why as we're doing things. It's just very tradition-based. Maybe a lot of religion is very process-oriented, just procedural. We just do the same things over and over and over again. And that's kind of what the world has turned religion into. Now, I'm not saying, so let's think about just process-based. I love processes. I love, because to me, they simplify things. You know, when I go to work, I have a process for different things. You know, as a banker, I'm in charge of, or I'm responsible for, risk and, you know, for money management and for helping customers understand what their goals are and their needs and finding the right product. And there's a lot to think about all the time. So what I do is I take certain aspects of what I do and I make a process. And I just do it that way every single time. When I'm handing out money, I count my money the exact same way every single time to every single customer. In fact, when I'm counting it to the customer, they tell me, no, I've already counted it with you. And I tell them, this isn't for you, this one's for me. Because it's my process. And I don't want to break my process because I don't want to not do it one time when I really needed to. and now maybe my drawer is short, or maybe when we have customer service surveys, and there are things that our customers are asked. If you come to my window for something, or you come to my desk, there are certain things that I'm going to say because it's asked on those surveys, and I know how I'm going to say it, I know when I'm going to introduce it, I know how many times I'm going to do it, and I know how I'm going to end the interaction. It's very process oriented, because I know I need to hit these little checkoff boxes at my job to do it. Even in the media department, you guys know I run AV, and there are checklists there because there's a lot going on sometimes, and I don't want us to forget things. So we just run through a little checkoff list. It's hard to forget, and we are maybe should be having a consistent level of consistency when we are helping to work the service forward. Right now, someone's in an AV booth and they're waiting for that scripture to come up, and they have that docket laid out for them, and somebody prepared a title slide that's going to go on. Somebody hit record. Somebody's going to come up later and listen to the recording and cut it, and they're going to put it on the website, and the website's laid out a certain way. It's very process oriented. It's very repetitive. It's a way of bringing consistency. But the truth, the biggest truth about whatever process I do it because I don't want to really think about it. It's just the way I do it. If somebody tells me that I shorted them $100, I'm very confident when I tell them, no, I did not. Very confident. I don't question it. I don't think about it. I go in my mind, did I do my process? Because if I've done my process, they got their money. It's just what it is. When my boss asked for a certain thing and expected behavior and a result wasn't happened, did you follow the behaviors? Yes, I did. I don't question it because I do it the same way every single time. But if my goal is to perform a function without thinking about it, is that what we have maybe made religion? We are just doing things because we know we're expected to do them. We have our little mental checkoff list because we don't want to think about it. I teach my team at work, find a process. What's your process? What's going to help you be successful? And that's how I measure success at work. A good process equals good results. It just does. A good process equals consistent results. And that's even more important. Consistency in those results. But when you bring that into religion, is that what we've made it? Is that what we've simplified it to be? Is that what religion was maybe meant to be? Is that what your religion is? We come to church. We wear the right thing. We say the right thing while we're in church. Maybe we say the wrong things outside of church. Maybe. I don't know. We know how to look a certain way and act a certain way, and we kind of check things off. And I'm not saying that having standards is a bad thing, but is it just we're doing it because we are? Is it just a tradition of who we've become? What religion sometimes forgets about is that there is supposed to be a love component involved into it. Matthew 22:34, and at this time, Jesus is speaking before Pharisees and Sadducees, and they're looking for a big gotcha moment from Jesus. They're trying to ask him questions, and on verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And this is what we're talking about. Verse 39, and the second is, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. We are to love God. We are to love God and to prefer God and just give him all of our strength and our energy is to be poured into loving God. But now, what does it mean to love God? This is not a traditional relationship. This is not a relationship that maybe can be easily understood, because we're talking about a most omnipotent high God that we're kind of some working into this relationship. We have these big moments where we come to God and just kind of give it to Him, and now we're trying to figure out what it is to keep loving God. So what I'm asking us today is to simplify what it is to really show love. Now I'm gonna ask you this. Have you ever noticed certain people, they just talk about the same things kind of over and over again? Like, I come up here often, and I reference my wife a lot. I reference my wife a lot because I love my wife. You talk about the things you love. When I go to work and my wife sends me little videos of the kids doing funny things, I share them with everybody. Everybody's going to see what Sophia's doing and what Isabel's doing. There is a love component for me there, so I talk about it. I show them off. You talk about the things that you know. You know, so you're going to see, you know, as we're just talking here, I'm going to talk about my relationship a little bit with my wife, because it's what I know. And in the 8 years that I've been married, I know a little bit more about this whole marriage thing that I did 5 years ago, and then more so 8 years ago when I first began. You tend to do those things. How often do we find ourselves, and here's our first just question of reflection here, how often do we find ourselves talking about our God? How often do we find ourselves talking about His blessings and His goodness? How often do we find ourselves talking about who we used to be and where God has brought us from? We talk about things we know and things we understand. We talk about things we spend time with. You know, if you have a couple hobbies, you could rattle off, you know, some of those hobbies and what you've done, and you could talk about those kind of things. We are to love God. And what loving God really means is relationship. Now, I can tell you that growing up in a Pentecostal church and growing up in an apostolic church, you know, we have standards, and there's nothing wrong with those. I think one of the greatest blessings about being in this church is that they were not standards for the sake of standards. They were not standards for the sake of rules. They were not standards for the sake of obligations, for the sake of conformity. You probably didn't even hear the word standards until I said it like four times. Because what's taught is relationship. What's taught is relationship and spending more time with God and loving God and letting God lead you and letting God direct you. And when there is a relationship component, you're going to find yourself just kind of falling in line, because when you love someone, you do certain things to make them happy. You do certain things to make them known that they are appreciated, they are respected, they are adored. And these are words that I would typically use when I am talking in my relationship with my wife. So I'm thinking about this, and how am I going to simplify what it is we're supposed to have with God? I could tell my wife all day that I love her, and I do. And I could tell her that she means the world to me. But if there is never any kind of work in that relationship, she's not going to feel it. She may not believe it. It's like me going all week ignoring her, not talking to her. And on Saturday night, I say, "Girl, you know I love you, right?" Is that enough? Does she think about that kind of relationship and what we're doing? And the truth is when we're not acting a certain way that kind of reinforces that relationship, the truth is we got to reflect. And maybe in a marriage situation, maybe it's no longer love. Maybe that's something we need to reflect on. If we're not outwardly doing things to prefer your spouse and to uplift them, you know, is there still love there? See, my wife, she's a big communicator. She loves to communicate. And sometimes I'm at work all day, I've been communicating all day. I don't want to communicate. I don't want to do the extra talking. But my wife, who's been hanging around with toddlers all day, she needs someone to talk to. So I have to understand that I need to figure out what I'm going to do, because this is something that she needs. And it sounds simple, but she needs this. So what we found in our time of being married is I will find times throughout work and I'll give her a quick call. How you doing? We got like 30 seconds. Let's go. What's going on? And she might vent about what the children are doing, or she might be excited that, you know, Sophia learned how to do something new. Okay, I got to go. I got a customer. I'll call you later. And then we have our times where I drive home from work, and I get in the car, I call her, and I say, all right, Alexandra, how was your day? And go. Because she needs someone to talk to. She's a big communicator. And when I get home, I better have just a little bit enough left over. Regardless of whether I want to or not, it's what my wife needs. I have to give her what she needs in order for her to feel like she is being received in this relationship. My wife, she likes it when I am putting thought and time into what we're going to do. If I come home with a Redbox movie and I said, hey, it's going to be movie night, you know, kids go to bed, let's watch a movie together. I thought about her. I preferred her. If I tell her, hey, this weekend we got plans, she gets excited because I put thought and effort into spending time with her. I'm showing interest in her. This is how she is receiving love. A lot of time a relationship is preferring one another. It's sacrificing what I want in this moment, because what does my spouse need? What do they want? What would make them happy? It's sacrifice and it's preference. It's putting them first. See, work goes into a healthy marriage. Work goes into any relationship. You can't even have a friend and say you're a really good friend if you never call them, if you guys never spend time with each other. I mean, how good is your friendship when you see them once a year, and when you do see them, you need something? I mean, how is the other person going to feel about the quality of that friendship relationship? Any relationship takes work. The example I'm using, marriage, is specific, because marriage should be the closest relationship we have to somebody. And the truth is, we're going to make mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes. When you get married, no one knows how to be married. They just get married. You know, you could read the books you want to read, and you could say, yes, by this age, I know that I'm ready. But you get in there, and you're doing everything wrong. And that's what marriage is for most guys. You're just doing everything wrong, because there are things, no matter how prepared you were, and no matter how much things you guys have talked about, there are things you have just never considered. There are things that you did not even know to bring up, to touch, to talk about. There are just things you don't. So believe me, I've spent plenty of times making mistakes. But if there is love, there's a component of righting those wrongs and fixing those things and working on it and trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes and to understand. We're talking about relationship. How is there love without a relationship? And how is there a relationship without work? I'm simplifying it to the husband-wife relationship, because we need to simplify what our thought process is when we're talking about love. God calls us his bride. There is a similarity between our relationship with our spouse and then our relationship of what it is supposed to be with God. When there is love, you make changes, you adjust, you learn. You learn to love, you learn to protect your relationship. There's a lot of effort in that. And with a spouse, it's really supposed to be the second most important relationship that you have. Your most important relationship you're supposed to have is with your God. It's with your Savior. It's with your Creator. It's with the one who saved you, the one who understands you most, the one who took you out of a situation where you never thought you can be out of. So if we're supposed to be putting in extra extra effort into communicating with our wife, I would say it's a simple translation that we're supposed to be putting extra time in communicating with our God. Little chats throughout the day. Spending maybe a time in the drive home, maybe spending a little time just talking to the Lord about your day. When you're getting home, having that little time where you could just talk to God and say, this is kind of what's going on. This is how I'm feeling right now. We're supposed to be spending time with our significant other to show that we appreciate them and that we love them. How about the time we spend with God? Do we prefer God? Do we prioritize God? What is our relationship with God? Are we sacrificing for God? Are we sacrificing to show that what he wants is more important than what we want? Are we putting thoughts into what God wants from us? Now that's the important thing here. I mentioned marriage conference. I'm going to plug it again. You need to go. You need to invest in your marriage. Plug over. Okay. But when I talked to the guys, I made a joke. I said, gentlemen, this is thought free. We have a date. We have a price. You just got to go online and tell her we're going. And it's set up for you. Because for guys, sometimes thinking in the thought process of what, not just your spouse, but maybe what a woman would want, we think differently. Our priorities are different. I think I'm preferring my wife when I go to work and I work hard and I provide for her and I make sure she has little things that she needs. But she's not feeling necessarily my love unless I'm doing the extra communication and extra spending time and extra talking. But I'm thinking, man, I really sacrificed. I haven't done this for myself. I haven't done this for myself. Why doesn't she feel the love that I have for her? Why isn't she receiving that? Well, I mean, if you weren't communicating in the first place, she would probably never know. We have all these different conferences, marriage conferences and relationship conferences and seminars about building and working on your relationship with God. What do we think church is every time we open these doors on Sunday? It's our conference. It's our seminar. It's us working on our relationship with God. It's us learning how to show God that we love him, that we prefer him, that we adore him, that we're thankful for him. You know, sometimes we feel like when we get into prayer that, you know, I am just not getting out of prayer what some other people are getting out of prayer. I don't feel like I get the same thing she does, or I feel like I get the same thing he does when he prays. It's frustrating. It's hard. Have we ever considered that we are the problem in the communication process here? Communication changes based on a couple different things. How about number one, maturity? And if you ever go into a problem with what's the other person going to fix, you're never going to get the problem solved. You have to go into the problem with, what have I done? What can I work with? I need to make sure that I've done what I could do. And the truth is, I don't talk to my 3-year-old the same way I talk to my wife. My 3-year-old has a 3-year-old level of understanding, a 3-year-old level of comprehension. So I need to talk to her in a way that is fitting for her to understand. If I'm going to talk to my wife that way, that's a little bit rude. A little disrespectful. Do you know what I just told you to do? I'm sorry. Alexandra, I can you please do this for me? I know you're busy. I appreciate you. This would make me happy. There's different maturity levels. There's also different lengths and strengths of relationships changes the way we communicate with somebody. If I met somebody on the street, I'm going to be very, very formal and very respectful. I don't know them, but I want to be kind and I want to be very courteous to them. But if I've known somebody for 10 years, I'm going to be a little more informal. We've built a relationship. There's a way we can talk to each other. We could probably get to the point a little quicker, right? We could probably be a little more blunt. You know, I could probably make fun of you a little bit, and you know it's coming from a good place, and we could joke back and forth. There's different levels of relationship, but that's based on what I have done, to either get myself to a place of maturity where I'm receiving more from the conversation and I'm receiving more from this time of prayer with my God, and then I am putting some work and effort into the relationship so our relationship is strengthened and then there is more being received and understood. But I have to think about, have I done what I need to do? Communication grows over time the same way relationships do. It just grows. So I'm asking us today, are we thinking about, are we prioritizing our relationship with God? Do we say we love God without showing him love? Because if we did that to our wives, they would not be very happy, and I'm sure you would not be very happy in the long run either. If I told the buddy of mine, I care about you, but I never called you, I don't talk to you, when you're down, you don't see me, I'm not sure he's going to quite believe that I care about him. So we have to simplify what we're talking about. Do we show God the same level of respect we show our spouse? Do we show God the same level of attention that we show our buddy or our coworkers, our best friends? We treat God like our relationship with him is so different, but he modeled us after himself. We're created in his image. It's these emotions that he has given us. And yes, it benefits when we have relationships with one another, but these emotions were meant to give to God and to share with God and to commune with God. And sometimes we treat God like our relationship with him is something different. Some of us treat it like it's so reverent we can't just speak openly and freely with God. That if we're not doing certain things, it's a relationship. There should be a level of comfort in that relationship. You know, sometimes when I start to pray, I don't know what to say. Sometimes I get lost because I'm tired and I'm worn and I'm stressed and I've been thinking about different things all day. I have so many different responsibilities. I get home and I know it's my time to pray and I'm like, where do I start? And then we don't start. And then we do it again. I would encourage you, you could start with worship. Now, Pastor taught a lesson a while ago in the Lord's Prayer, and he gave us a breakdown with a good formula for how our prayer should look. And I'm pretty sure we still have the slips in the foyer, so if you missed that lesson, you can listen to it online, and you can grab a slip. But for me, when I get my worship in, and when that is just given its time, when worship is given its respect, when worship is just given the reverence it needs, everything else just starts to fall in line. There's a lot less thinking I have to do when or stressing out about how this prayer is going to go when worship just really kind of takes hold. Good worship can drive the rest of the prayer. Now let's take a pause for a moment, okay? We are Pentecostal. Pastor told me a story one time, you know, he chose the name Church of Pentecost because he wanted it to be clear to anyone who ever came through these doors who we were. We're supposed to do our religion, we're supposed to do it differently. It's supposed to be not the same. We are not what norm is in Christianity. We're not supposed to be. We are just not. See, we take our name from the day of Pentecost when the gift of the Holy Ghost was given with evident speaking in tongues. This was a time of very exuberant prayer and praise and worship. And throughout the various different kinds of Pentecostals that there are, there's always a similar feeling of there is a little bit more freedom of worship in these kind of services. There should be always somebody who's a little louder than a normal Baptist service, or somebody who might be just raising hands and just really kind of giving it and putting more emotion into what a normal worship service is. It's supposed to be different. We're supposed to have freedom of worship and praise, and through this freedom of worship, I would say that we would have some real powerful moves of God, because worship fosters an environment where God can come down and meet us. And when we are not holding any of ourselves back, and when we are free to worship with God, God meets us. That, see, it's not just the worship that makes us different. It's that connection and that relationship and that communion with God. When we are at the height of our worship, that when God comes to these services, I mean, we have some powerful services. I've heard testimony, Baptists and Methodists and Catholics, they come to our service and they've said, I've never felt a move of God like I felt in a Pentecostal service. Testimony after testimony, we have identity. That's what we're supposed to have. Worship, our worship makes us different. But the truth about worship is it takes extra work. And worship takes thought. See, it is a proper response work we give to the understanding, the thought of just how great our God is. That's what worship is. It is the right. It is the expected. It's the proper response when we put into perspective who our God is. But to keep putting God into that proper place of who He is, it takes thought. Now, if I'm in a relationship with my wife and I've never put any thought into the relationship, there is probably no relationship, because there's no feeling of love from me to her. She's not feeling any love for me. It takes and requires thought. Worship is so beneficial for me when I start to pray, because worship is about uplifting God. It's about reminding ourselves of His goodness. There's a song that I think about when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Sometimes I just sing that song over and over again because I need to put God in the place of where He is. You know, there are times where my wife's mad at me because I make mistakes. I take jokes too far. I don't consider her feelings. I'm tired. I get a little bit selfish when I get home. Sometimes a lot of bit selfish. I'm in trouble. That's the truth. I get in trouble a lot, okay? But what helps me work and repair and to restore that relationship with my wife is when I stop, or let's say we're having a disagreement about something just dumb. You know, sometimes I choose to plant my flag on just a worthless topic. It's just a worthless stance that doesn't really mean anything past this argument, because we get in the mode where we just want to be right. And now I'm upset, my wife's upset, and I don't like the way this feels. Because it doesn't feel good when the person you're so close with is, and you guys are not close anymore. You're upset with each other. You're not having that regular relationship. So when I stop and I start to think about everything my wife does for me, what she means to our family, how she takes care of me, how she prefers me, how she does these little things that I just never stop to appreciate and to uncover, I'm able to go to my wife, listen, I understand we're arguing, but I need you to know that I appreciate you. You're an awesome wife. You do so much for me, for this family. You do so much to bless me and to enrich my life. I'm not that eloquent when I say it or articulate. Sometimes it's as simple, like, just, you know, she's on the couch and she's kind of upset, like, sitting there, and I kiss on her forehead. I appreciate you. I'm putting her in her proper place. I'm changing my perspective of the whole relationship, and wow, she's been so good to me. And when she hears those words, her attitude changes. The atmosphere of the room changes. We're able to kind of communicate now, because what I first done is I've built up my wife because she's deserving of being built up. That's what we have to do. And let me tell you something. I've been married 8 years. I love being married. I absolutely love being married. I've been single more than I've been married. I don't know what I was doing all this time being single. I don't know how I could have ever lived that life. I was a savage. I was an animal. Just lost in this world. I remember being afraid of having kids. I can't imagine my life without my kids. I can't imagine my life without their love and their experiences and their shows of joy and excitement. It's a different thing when you have built these connections, and it takes work. But the benefits so far outweigh anything you could have, you know, we could have imagined that they would. Some of us have this kind of idea and a mindset, I'm going to be this old when I get married, I'm going to be this old. You know, if God's giving you the person, stop wasting your life and your time. Because it's a good thing to have that kind of relationship. How much better is it to have that kind of relationship with your God? Now, I'm talking about worship. I'm talking about building up and uplifting. 1 Chronicles 16 and 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord and worthy of and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Amen. We're lifting him up. We're giving him his proper respect, his proper due. We're telling him, Lord, you are so far up here, and Lord, I am so far down here. We're coming to an understanding right now of just how great our God is, how big our God is, how capable our God is. Amen. Add a little fear in there, because he is an awesome God. He is a, you know, I'll tell you what. I probably mess up the most in my relationship with my wife when I don't have a healthy fear of her. I could probably sum that up well, because when she is not happy in the home, none of us are happy in the home. When there is not a proper respect of what she brings to the table and what life could be when she is no longer bringing that to the table, I've messed up. How much more our God? I know I am simplifying this to an earthly relationship, and but God is so different, but it different less? Because some of us are not even putting this much effort and energy into our relationships with God than we would with our spouse. Verse 26, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Worship brings proper context of just how great our God is. Worship reminds us of all the blessings and all the goodness and everything he's brought to us. Worship reminds us that that God who is so great and so powerful, and he's done so much for us, he's on my side in my hardest times. He is before me. He prefers me. He wants the best for me. When we reflect on how God, awesome our God is, and that he wants to do good for us, you know what? That might build a little faith. You know what? I might start giving him some of my prayer requests, because I've just been reminding myself and uplifting him up, but reminding myself that my God has flexed some serious power over the years. I was a wreck, and he saved me. I was in trouble, and he brought me out. He opened doors that I could not see that were there. My God's been flexing some power in my life. I got to remember those kind of things. Because when trouble comes to my door, you must not know my God. Let me tell you a little story about who my God is. Sometimes we got to simplify what it is that we're doing. You know, some of us, God is deserving of reverence and all, but simplify the relationship. God's been there for me. He's brought me out of some serious stuff. He's changed my life like never before. What is this problem really going to do to me that my God can't take care of? Some of us think we got to speak in old English to God for him to hear us, but we just need to speak how we talk. We need to express ourselves how we would express ourselves to our friends and our spouse and our neighbors. Some of us have jargon and different things, you know. Talk comfortably to your God. It's a relationship. He wants to receive you. And that relationship will grow. And so will your communication to him. So many times in my relationship with my wife that's messed up because I'm not putting proper context to it. And I'm not letting her know how great she is. Prayer shouldn't be different. We worship, we lift God, we put him in his proper place, which is above everything else. We convey how good he is to us. Repentance seems a little bit easier. My God is good. Lord, you're right, I'm sorry. Repentance seems easier. Giving my prayer request seems easier. Asking him for direction seems a little easier. Asking God to just give us favor and to go before us. It all seems a little easier when we begin to remind ourselves and worship about how great our God is. Now, I talked about process before and that, you know, a dead, dying religion is just all process. But process isn't necessarily bad. I told you process of my job was a good thing because I don't want to think about certain things. That's because I want to spend my time and my energy and my thought prioritizing the things that are so important. I process out certain things at work because I need to work on other things that I'm trying to build up, other things that I'm trying to accomplish. And I cannot stand to have the little things, shortages and missing paperwork. I can't let those things stop me because I'm working on bigger things at my job place. I'm looking to grow. The same thing is with our God. We can add processes to our relationship. We can add ourselves schedules. I do this at this time. I do this at this time. Tuesday is our devotional day for our family when we get here. And this is how I'm going to spend time with God here. And I'm going to get involved here. We can give ourselves little processes. And then once we are in those processes, we're not missing out these days. We can really dive in and focus. We're not focusing on when we're going to be there. We've processed that out. Now we're there. We're focusing on, Lord, how am I going to uplift you? How am I going to praise you? How am I going to love you? How is this Bible study going to be different? How am I going to add to this ministry at church? What religion is missing is everything that comes short of relationship. But process and relationship can work hand in hand to show love and show affection. Now here's the thing about this, okay? If my goal in my marriage is just to avoid divorce, if my goal in my marriage is just to avoid my wife leaving me, not to make her happy, not to show her I love her, you know, I could probably find a little checklist. I could probably find a little formula of things that I just need to do just barely. And my wife may suffer me. But I would not be getting any of the joy and the blessings out of what that relationship is supposed to be if that is my goal. So if our focus of serving God is to just miss hell, you could have your checklist of things to do, and you know what? Honestly, that may work. I don't know. God may not be totally happy with you. You know? At least you're avoiding all the big sins, right? But if your goal is really only just to miss hell, you're missing out on every real blessing that God has for you. You're missing out on every real benefit of what a relationship with God is. We can't let our religion stop before we get to our relationship. Because if we don't have a relationship with God, we don't have love. Love takes work. Love takes thought. It takes intention. It takes a level of excellence. I have to continually be better for my wife. I have to continually make decisions that show her that I'm going to work harder for her. I'm going to do more things for her. I'm going to think more about you. My wife is very gracious, and she'll when she talks to you, she'll tell you, you know, you ask her, how great is Rob as a husband? She may laugh a little bit just to get at me, but she'll say all the right things, and she'll talk great about me and nice about me. But it's my job to make her right and make her true and to make her work. You know, my wife's going to do the right things. It's who she is. She'll say the right things. It's who she is. She's not going to put me down, but if the relationship is right, I've done all the work to make those words true. So I encourage you today. I encourage you today to simplify what it is your relationship with God is. Are you following the great commandment? Because if you're not really loving God, there's no way you're going to love your neighbors as yourself. It's just not going to happen. And I tell you what, church, you can stand. When we learn to love our God, if we could just simplify what we're doing, our relationship with God, make it simple for us to understand and just to go after it. If we would pursue God like you pursued your wife, gentlemen, if we would learn to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love each other, to prefer each other, to serve each other, there'll be no stopping this place from growing. No stopping this place from being full every service, because it's that love we're supposed to be showing the world. So when I think about the great commandment, I'm thinking about relationship and what it means to God. Am I doing those basic things that I know to do in any other relationship? Amen? So I just encourage you today just to think about that. Am I doing what it takes to keep a relationship with God? Pray with me today. Lord God, we love you and we honor you. We thank you for this time, oh God, to come together and to be together with you, oh God. Lord God, I ask you today, oh God, that you help us, oh God. You teach us, oh God, to love you, oh God, to pursue you, oh God, to go after you, to prefer you, to uplift you, oh God, and to just remember how great you are, oh God. That we, oh God, would seek out after you, oh God, and that we would trust you, and if we would give you the proper worship that you deserve, oh God, we know and believe and have faith that you are going to work the things out in our lives, oh God. We want what you want for our lives. We want your direction, Lord God, and we want your plan. Lord God, that you would bless this congregation, oh God, and that you would help us, oh God, attain that true relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, church. You guys are dismissed.